Oxygen at 3%. Artificial gravity stopped working half an hour ago, and I'm all out of wasabi nuts. This is it, John. The beginning of the end. Or, for you listeners at home, the halfway mark. Yay! Captain Jack is in it! I hear you squeal. Except for you, over there, tweeting angrily around your cats that actually I think you'll find his name isn't Captain Jack Harkness yet. Yeah, I see you. While we're at it, strictly speaking, mine isn't Captain John Hart either. I know. But listen, isn't continuity boring? So, yeah, anyway, Captain Jack. You know something? If I developed an ulcer on the end of my todger, I would call it Captain Jack Harkness. My lover, my rival, my nemesis in destiny, the bane of my bloody life. God, I'd missed him.
Broken my spleen.
Where are we?
Okay. Peach-colored sky, three moons. Mm-hmm. Going by your coordinates, I'd say we're on Maglomi.
Sounds like pasta.
It's a desert planet. Uninhabited, no vegetation, no water.
You're really selling it to me?
Yeah, there was a human colony here once, but they died out.
And now the planet is ruled by the apes.
Not quite, Bright Eyes.
Shame. We need to fix the ship.
That's not gonna happen. Look at it. No fuel, and the starboard engine is completely kaput. That thing's galaxy-faring days are over.
Okay. So, what supplies do we have?
Well, there's a bottle of water I picked up at the service station on Bava 6, but it's probably warm by now. Oh, and some breath mints.
Oh, we can't survive on a bottle of warm water.
Ooh, half a bottle, actually.
On half a bottle of warm water and some breath mints?
I know that.
So what are we gonna do?
Search me.
Do you smell burning?
Probably your imagination. You're hungry, so you think you can smell a campfire.
It's your ship. Your ship's on fire.
Oh, yeah.
The gauntlets! Where are they?
They were right over there. They must have fallen when we crashed.
Oh, for God's sake! The single most valuable items in the entire known universe, and you just left them lying on a shelf?
Wait. Have you seen them since we jettisoned Dr. Magpie?
No. Why?
Well, think about it.
Oh. Oh, God! We jettisoned the gauntlets! We jettisoned the gauntlets!
You complete asshole!
Me?! You're the one who didn't strap them down safely!
I didn't think we'd have to. Besides, 50-50, remember? They were as much your responsibility as they were mine.
And if you hadn't been so greedy, they would have been entirely my responsibility. But you had to...
Greed? Oh, you're a fine one to talk about greed, mister. Let's steal a Zanthusian icon and leave Jack behind to deal with all the angry tribes people. Was it really too much to ask that you put the gauntlet somewhere safe?
Oh, here they are.
Wait.
Now, shall we go? You know, before this thing blows up.
Anyway, I don't think it's really going to explode. That's just the circuits frying, and there's not enough fuel. Oh, man!
He was saying?
Huh. I forgot about the ion drive.
Now what?
Now? Well, we start walking.
Where? You said yourself this place is uninhabited.
But there could still be the remains of what was here before. Shelter, water, maybe even food.
I don't fancy eating someone's millennia-old leftovers.
But if we stay right here, we'll starve to death or die of thirst.
I remember your old dating profile. You were always dying of thirst.
Ha! Very funny. Come on.
Which way?
Oh, let's go east.
What's in the east?
I guess we'll find out when we get there.
See, that sounds deep, but it doesn't actually mean anything, does it?
This is pointless. There's nothing here. No life. No water. We're doomed.
Stop being such a wet blanket.
A wet blanket is someone who spoils a joyous occasion. In what sense is this joyous?
Hey, this is practically a reunion.
Last time we were together, we were at each other's throats. Literally. I still have a scar there, see?
Yeah, but you've got to admit, life is kinda dull without me, right?
In the last week, I've headed away with Charles II's mistress, fought my way through an entire army of zombies, and broken into a giant wooden space prison.
Okay, before that...
Fine. Before that, yes. There were a few weeks that were a bit samey, but I finally got around to having a sort out and dropped off some old clothes at the YMCA on Delta Fibris, but...
Wait. You donated clothes to charity?
Yes.
Whoa, that's uncharacteristic.
I had a lot of clothes.
Yeah, but a charity? You gave to a charity.
Look, don't make a song and dance about it. I do have a nice side, you know. Granted, it's smaller than my sociopathic moral vacuum side, but it's there.
Did you give away those little leather shorts?
No. Lost them, Aphrodite 5.
Oh, shame.
You know, with no one around, we could always...
Always what?
Who knows?
Here?
We have plenty of privacy.
It must be 40 degrees. My lips feel like sandpaper, and the salt deposits in my armpits are beginning to chafe. I've never felt less sexy in my life. Wait. Do you see that?
What?
In the distance. Looks almost like... like a city.
It's a mirage. An optical illusion caused by the heat. There's no city.
All right, see for yourself.
Okay, that does look a lot like a city, but...
Come on!
What? Jack? Jack, wait up! These gauntlets are heavy! Jack!
Water! It's water!
You're hallucinating. It's dehydration.
No. Look. A gentle stream. Flowers. Vegetation!
Your mind is playing tricks with you.
It's delicious.
You don't know where that water's been. There could be dead things in it. You could get dysentery. That's not very refreshing. Oh, what the hell?
Come on. Drink.
Oh, you're right. Actual water. This is the best thing I've had in my mouth since... Actually, let's not go there. But what is this place?
No idea.
Are those houses?
It looks like it. Oof, thousands of them.
It's like one giant suburb.
But I don't get it. If this really is Maglomi, this should be ruins.
Maybe it's not Maglomi.
Oh, come on, look up. See that? Two moons orbiting a larger moon. Maglomi is the only planet in the system which has that. This has to be Maglomi.
But if there are houses here, there could be people. Civilization. We might be able to communicate with other worlds.
Maybe you're right. Hey. We could contact the Vargosh.
And they get the hell out of here. Oh.
Yes! All these houses, but no one's home. It's weird.
Oh, maybe it's a weekday. Everyone's at work.
It feels like a massive show home. Hey.
Children of Peach Blossom High. The shopping day is coming to an end. soon it'll be time to rest. Please begin making your way towards your personal vehicles. Or, if you're already in your homes, prepare your nutritious evening meals.
That's not at all creepy.
I don't know. Sounds kind of homely.
Not that. Those.
Oh, look at that.
Theme park mascots. A doll, a teddy bear, and I think that's meant to be a rabbit. What the hell are they doing in the cul-de-sac?
Coming this way.
We have to get out of here.
Why?
I hate theme park mascots.
What?
Have done ever since my parents took me to Bunky World.
What? Wait, what's Bunky World?
The most significant trauma of my childhood. You don't want to know. We should stay off the main roads, hedge hop through the gardens.
Oh, they're just mascots.
No, they're not. They are pure, unmitigated evil.
Okay, whatever you say, after you.
Garden.
How? We've been traveling in a straight line for hours, and we came from that-a-way, and we're going that-a-way towards the... I don't even know what that is.
It looks like a massive shopping mall. Like a really awful shopping mall. Which, admittedly, is a tautology, but still... I think I need to lie down.
You can't sleep on someone's lawn.
I didn't say sleep. I said lie down. Maybe... rest my eyes.
Yeah, maybe I'll, maybe I'll join you. Ooh, this lawn is surprisingly soft.
Ooh, just resting my eyes.
Hi.
What? Keep away from me!
I'm sorry. Did I startle you?
No. What? Jack!
No. Oh, I never even saw the unicorn. Oh, what is it? What's happening?
Jack, there are people here.
Darling, our surprise guests have woken up.
What's that? Oh, they're awake.
Who are you people?
Well, I was just about to ask you the same thing. I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Trevor.
Well, hello, Trevor. Where are we?
In our garden, silly.
No. I mean this place. What's it called?
Peach Blossom Heights.
Is that the house name? The street?
No, it's everything. The whole city.
Welcome to Peach Blossom Heights.
Oh, thanks. These cupcakes are divine.
The secret is to work the batter by hand.
Behave.
More tea.
Thank you.
So, where are you both from? The Glade? You're not familiar.
Oh, no, we're from far away.
Very far, in fact.
Yes, very far.
Like another planet far away.
What do you mean, another planet?
Well, you know, this is Peach Blossom Heights. Up in the sky are three moons, and then very far away up there, the other planets.
Caitlin, have you heard of that? Planets?
Can't say I have.
No, we've never heard of that.
But, well, you must have. I mean, this place, it seems quite advanced. You have technology. You mean to say you've never heard of other planets?
News to me.
And me.
You see, we need to contact one of these planets quite urgently.
Right.
So we were hoping you might know where we could go to contact them?
I suppose they could always try the post office.
I don't think the post office do that sort of thing, darling.
Do you have email?
What's that?
E-mail.
Do you mean the mail? Letters, postcards and whatnot?
No, email, electronic mail.
No! What a funny idea. Imagine sending a letter through the plug sockets.
Bloody hell, we've crash-landed in the 70s.
Look, let's just remain calm.
Is something wrong?
No. It's just we were hoping we wouldn't have to stay very long, and now it looks like, well, we might have to.
Well, you can always stay with us.
Really?
Of course. There's plenty of room.
But we're complete strangers.
As I've always said, a stranger is just a friend you haven't met. I'll go and make up the spare room. And Trevor, darling, could you sort them out with some fresh clothes? Theirs are looking a little worse for wear.
Of course, darling. Mm.
I bet they're Satanists.
What?
There must be something beneath those perfectly white smiles and their catalogue model good looks.
Maybe they're just nice. And hot.
Well, they're definitely hot. But nobody's that nice, Jack. Nobody.
More wine?
Sure, why not? Wine, not. Get it?
Yes, very funny. Why not?
I've got to say, we were surprised to find all this here. We thought your planet was nothing but sand.
You must be thinking of the nowhere, but no one goes to the nowhere.
So this is all there is? Just this? Great big suburb and then desert?
There's the coast.
But you have to be selected by Mother Janet to live there. Mm. And that only happens to a handful of people.
Mother Janet?
Good evening, children of Peach Blossom High.
That's Mother Janet.
We are nearing the end of another glorious day. The officers will begin their routine inspections shortly. So may I wish you all a pleasant night and the sweetest of dreams.
Good night, Mother Janet.
But who is she?
She looks after us.
She's Mother Janet.
And the officers?
Oh, they're just adorable. They come out to make sure everyone is comfortable and happy.
She's talking about the mascots.
Why do they look like giant teddy bears or cuddly dinosaurs or cartoon rabbits?
To make everyone happy, of course.
Happy?
Mm. If your car runs out of energy, an officer is there within seconds to recharge it. If you're lost somewhere unfamiliar, they give you directions. They are delightful.
Okay, so you have houses and there's a mall. But where do you work?
Work?
What do you do for a living?
The same as you. We eat and drink.
And breathe.
I mean, how do you make money?
Money? Darling?
Nope, doesn't ring a bell.
Cash, wonga, spondulix.
I'm so sorry, we've no idea what you're talking about.
A world without money?
A world without work?
Jack, I don't know about you, but I think we may have found utopia.
You'll have to decide who sleeps in which bed.
Oh, we could always push them together.
I hope you don't mind sharing a room.
No, we share everything. Money, secrets, bodily fluids.
Ow! Well, we'll leave you to it. Good night, both.
Yes, good night.
Yeah. Good night.
Good night. Still think they're Satanists?
Meh.
Meh? What brought about the change of mind?
Wine. Food. A perfect society where everyone is happy and no one has to work for a living. Being waited on by a really hot couple.
And what about the mascots?
I think I can get past a childhood phobia.
You don't think there's something a little strange and suspicious about them?
You were the one saying, oh, look at the cute little rabbit, only a few hours ago.
Oh, come on. Everything feels a little regimented. Everyone going to bed at the same time. Mascots patrolling the suburbs. Sounds like a curfew to me.
Hey, where are you going?
Out.
Out where?
Well, outside.
But where outside?
Just out into the street. Take a look around. See what's happening.
Nothing's happening. Everyone's going to bed.
Which makes me think there's something definitely happening out there. Now, are you coming? Or shall I do this on my own?
I don't know what you're expecting to find.
Shh, shh. There. Look. What did I say?
Mascots.
Mascots?
But what are they doing?
Looks like they're paying someone a visit.
Hello?
What the? They're taking him.
What, but where?
Should we tell them?
Tell them what?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe your neighbor got kidnapped by a giant purple rabbit in the middle of the night.
We don't know what we saw. Maybe there was a good reason they took him away.
Did it look like they had a good reason?
It was dark. I was sleepy.
Oh, come on.
Good morning.
Oh, hey. Oh, more muffins.
I know you like them.
And the coffee is freshly ground.
Oh, yummy.
Oh, I forgot to mention, Di.
Yes?
Did you hear the news about Graham at number 4?
Huh?
He's gone to the coast. It was on this morning's news bulletin.
Oh, that's splendid news.
It is, isn't it?
Graham?
Our neighbour. Went late last night, apparently.
To the coast?
Yes, lucky old so-and-so. Oh,
his wife's been there for several years now, so it's nice they'll see one another again. Oh, darling, could you pass the sugar?
Hmm?
Wake up, I have an idea.
What?
We should ask Trevor and Caitlin to take us to the mall.
Why?
It's in the center of the city, like a hub. If Mother Janet or whoever's behind all this is anywhere, she'll be there.
And we want to find her, why?
Well, you saw what happened to Graham at number 4?
Oh, he won a surprise trip to the coast.
Well, you really believe that?
Jack, we've earned this, okay? Almost everywhere we go, there's trouble. And this time, I don't know, maybe this place is just nice. I mean, Trevor and Caitlin are making us daiquiris, for crying out loud, and it's not even lunchtime.
You've really changed your tune.
What do you mean?
When we got here, you're all their Satanists, and now you're all Club Tropicana.
Exactly, Jack. The drinks are literally free.
That isn't funny.
Hey, that was good content, and you know it. You're still very sexy when you're angry.
Don't.
You look like you want to get up off that sun lounger and spank me, silly.
John, please, it's broad daylight.
Tell me I've been a naughty boy, Jack.
Would you just please just zip it?
Tell me I've been a naughty, naughty boy.
Oh, get over here. Come on. Oh, you bad woman. Get over here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Oh.
Well.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa. Hey. It's not what it looks like.
It's exactly... He's lying. It's exactly what it looks like. Jack. Towel.
What? Oh, hey, yes.
What were you... What was that you...
Why were you rubbing him like that?
Well, you see, it's been a while, and John and I are old flames. Well, frenemies with benefits, you might say.
Mm. No, but what was... that?
We were, you know, getting it on.
Getting what on?
Sex.
Is that like money?
Depends on the offer.
You've never heard of sex?
No.
You've never heard of sex?
John, oh, come on, really?
If we pass up this opportunity, we'll regret it for the rest of our lives.
Oh, maybe you're right.
Of course I'm right. Trevor, Caitlin, let's take this discussion inside.
Basically, while many listeners were totally on board for all the gratuitous sex following my previous outing, The Death of Captain Jack, we received some complaints, ranging from utter filth to, you people should be locked up. So, you'll just have to picture the scene without any of the more explicit sound effects or dialogue.
I mean, in reality, this went on for
hours, but no one wants to hear that.
You do? Shame.
Take it up with the people who wrote all those strongly worded emails. You have them to thank. Anyway, maybe they'll release it as a bonus disc or something. Moving on.
Mate, where are you going?
Back to our room. Trevor keeps pushing his big toe into my mouth.
Ah.
Come and see this.
What's wrong?
Oh my god.
Yeah, the purple bunny.
Is that thing watching us?
We We should probably tell Tom and Cynthia about this.
Really? Don't you think they might find it a little shocking?
Not at all. I think they'd probably enjoy it.
This is Tom we're talking about, darling.
Well, Cynthia certainly would. She's usually the more adventurous of the two.
Good morning!
Ah, good morning!
What time is it?
Almost 10. We didn't want to wake you.
We thought you might need some rest after yesterday.
Yeah.
I was just saying, we have to tell our friends, Tom and Cynthia, about this.
About what?
Sex! I can't believe we've never tried it before. Can you, darling?
No! I mean, it's obvious, really, when you think about it. Why would we be shaped like this if it wasn't for that?
This is the weirdest breakfast conversation I've ever had.
Agreed.
We can't thank you enough, really.
I mean, imagine putting that in there and then that happening. It's remarkable.
I never thought I'd feel awkward around people talking about sex.
We're just going outside to get some fresh air.
Sure, I'll make some more coffee.
And then maybe later on we can have some more sex.
That's a splendid idea.
What have we done?
I don't know.
How could they not know about sex? I mean, anatomically, they have everything they need, so how could they not know?
Maybe their civilization is so advanced they don't need to.
But you'd think sooner or later curiosity or boredom would get the better of them.
This is weird.
So weird.
But they're really keen.
I know.
I can't decide whether this is a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's like we've won an infinite supply of ice cream. I mean, ice cream is great, but an infinite supply?
We've just called Tom and Cynthia. They'd never heard of sex either, but they're quite eager to try it for themselves, so I said they could come round.
Tom and Cynthia?
You'll like them. Tom tends to go on a bit, but I'm sure once we're in the swing of things, it won't be too much of a problem.
And Cynthia's very athletic. She's always jogging and that sort of thing, so I'm sure she'll take to it like a duck to water.
Great.
Tom! Cynthia, come on in. These are the guests we were telling you about.
This is Jack, and this is John.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Hi, Colin. Yes, it's Caitlin over in Shangri-La Villas. Yes. But listen, we have some house guests staying with us, and they've just introduced us to something called sex. Sex? S-E-X. And we thought you and Fiona might like to give it a go. It's an awful lot of fun. Tom and Cynthia are here right now and they're having a simply wonderful time, so we thought you might want to join us. Oh, that's fabulous. Yes, yes, as soon as you can. Bye, Colin. Bye-bye.
Fiona, Colin, how wonderful to see you. Come on in. Yeah, you can leave your clothes in the sitting room if you like. We're all out in the garden. Terry and Barbara from number 8 have just hopped over the fence. You've met them before, haven't you?
That escalated quickly.
Yeah.
It's like some sort of sexpocalypse.
Yeah, I guess there must have been a lot of sexual tension building up.
You think?
I mean, considering they're novices and all, they're very open-minded.
I guess if you don't have any preconceptions or prejudices.
Still, it feels like this was the Garden of Eden. And you were the snake, and I was the apple.
Yeah. Wow. He was a bit shy at first, but Tom's really getting into it. I can't remember the last time I could get my knees that close to my ears.
So are we going to talk about the purple bunny?
Which purple bunny?
You know what I mean.
Maybe he was just curious.
Curious?
Maybe he heard about the four of us doing the naked conga and got curious.
It's a robot rabbit.
Besides, there's something a little more pressing.
Like what?
Well, a world where no one's heard of sex is also a world without birth control.
Oh.
This has been rather a success, I think.
You could say that.
Cynthia and I were just having the sex, and between you and me, I think it's even better with another woman.
Our work here is done.
I don't suppose you've seen Trevor?
Not in a while.
Oh, he's probably having sex somewhere. Why don't the two of you join us in the pool? Having sex in water is even more fun. you didn't tell us about that.
Sure, why not? Woo!
Goodbye. Bye, Tom. Bye, Cynthia. Goodbye. Well, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, but maybe we should have a little talk.
About?
Let's call it the facts of life.
Oh, sounds rather serious. Can it wait until morning?
To be honest, we should probably have had this chat before all the sex happened, so the sooner the better.
All right, I'll go and get Trevor.
Oh, this could take a while.
And that's how babies are born.
Whoa, wait, what's so funny?
Oh, that's hilarious. Babies.
Yeah.
Tiny little people with no hair.
That's right.
And they can't speak properly, so they gurgle.
And they defecate while wearing special undergarments.
For a moment there, you almost had us going.
You don't believe us?
Babies. That is really, really funny.
You don't understand. This isn't a joke. You could actually be pregnant.
So could Trevor.
Yeah, he's right.
So you're telling us that, sorry, how many months is it?
9, usually.
9 months from now, our bellies could grow and a baby could come out of my foo-foo.
I really wish you hadn't taught them that word.
Where would my baby come from?
You don't want to know.
Wait. All right, I'm sorry. Hold on. How do you make babies?
We don't make babies.
You must.
How else do you reproduce?
I don't even know what that means.
They're robots.
They're not robots.
I'm telling you, they are robots.
I have had sex with plenty of robots, and not one of them could do half the things they did in that pool.
Good point.
Oh, did we say something wrong?
No, not at all. It's just we do things a little differently back home.
But if sex is how new people are made on your world, the population must be enormous. How do they feed and clothe everyone? Where does everyone live?
Well, they would have to build enormous towers with everyone stacked up on top of one another, which would be ghastly.
And no gardens.
And you would hardly ever see your neighbours.
Imagine what that would do to the community.
It would be so lonely.
Not to mention all the conflict and unpleasantness.
Satire, Clexon. You're sleeping in your bed?
Yes, and?
Oh, nothing. I just thought, doesn't matter. Are you okay?
Yes, yeah. I keep seeing that rabbit standing outside the window staring up at us.
It's just a robot, Jack.
And Graham from number 4 being dragged into that van.
I don't know whether you could say he was dragged.
They put a gag in his mouth.
Maybe he was into that sort of thing.
You said was.
So?
You think he's dead.
When did I say that?
You didn't say it, you inferred it.
Implied.
What?
Inferred means to make an educated guess. Implied means to hint at something.
Oh, whatever.
So what are you going to do about all this?
First thing in the morning, we'll sit Trevor and Caitlin down and ask them some questions. About the officers, about Mother Janet, about the coast.
What if they want to have more sex? What if Trevor makes more muffins?
Screw Trevor's muffins!
You answered both questions in one. Impressive.
This is serious, John. There's something bad about this place, and we have to find out what it is.
Darling.
Yes, Trevor?
I've been thinking about everything they told us. About other planets and babies and sex. What if there's more to life than Peach Blossom Heights?
More?
What if life could be different?
I don't know what you're saying, Trevor.
What if we could go somewhere else and live differently?
You mean like the coast?
No, not the coast. Somewhere we could choose to live, without Mother Janet's say-so.
Stop it, darling, you're scaring me.
The moons, for instance. What if there's something on the moons?
Now you're just being silly.
Or maybe beyond the nowhere. Far away, there could be others, like us, or like Jack and John.
Trevor... Really, would you listen to yourself?
I think tomorrow we should leave Shangri-La Villas.
What about the mall?
I'm bored of the mall, damn it!
Oh.
I am! I'm bored of the mall, I'm bored of this house, and I'm bored of Shangri-La Villas!
Are you bored of me?
Oh, of course not. Oh. Especially now that we found a second purpose for our toilet parts.
Oh.
But I feel like there's a whole world for us to explore. And not just one, but many. Tomorrow, we will go somewhere else.
There you are. Listen, we need to talk.
Can it wait? It's just we're a little busy right now.
You're packing?
Yes. We're going somewhere.
Where?
Just somewhere.
You inspired us.
To do what, exactly?
Go somewhere else.
Somewhere other than the mall.
Wow.
What you've shown us, what you told us, we realised there must be more to life than Peach Blossom Heights.
Well, sure, but it's pretty much desert everywhere else.
Then we'll cross the desert.
In a car?
How much desert can there be?
Maybe you guys should slow down, take a deep breath.
He's right. I mean, this has been great and all, but it's like the saying goes, you need to learn how to walk before you can run.
Learn how to walk?
Who learns how to walk? Everyone can walk.
Okay, this place is now officially too weird for me. I'm sorry I said we should stay here. They can keep the daiquiris and the sex parties. I want to leave. Oh.
It's our friends from Bunky World.
Don't even say its name.
Oh, look, darling, it's the officers.
Oh.
We need to hide. We can't let them see us.
Good morning. Can we help you?
Greetings, citizens. Please observe the following video message.
Greetings, Trevor and Caitlin. It is my pleasure to inform you that you have been selected for a once-in-a-lifetime trip to the coast. Please accompany the officers immediately.
I don't believe it. The coast!
But what about our plan to drive off? Find somewhere new.
But Trevor, the coast, it's what we've always dreamed of. It's all anyone ever dreams of.
You're right. Of course, you're right. We'll go.
Thank you, Mother Janet.
Yes, thank you.
You are most welcome, Caitlin and Trevor.
Oh, but what about Jack and John?
You mean our good neighbours from Shangri-La Villas who are staying with us while their house is being renovated? I guess they'll just have to look after the house while we're gone and make full use of our facilities until their own house is ready for them to move back in.
Yes, that seems like a sensible plan. Let's go!
Please board the vehicle immediately.
We're coming!
What the hell was that?
Bit of a coincidence, don't you think? Trevor and Caitlin begin thinking for themselves and suddenly they win a once-in-a-lifetime trip to the coast.
Yeah, where is the coast?
Maglomi doesn't have one.
So what is it? Some sort of prison? The afterlife?
We have to follow them.
But how?
In the car.
Do you even know how to drive it?
I have a hunch it won't be too challenging.
Go, stop, forwards, backwards. Yep, that looks kind of straightforward.
Everything about this world is as if it's been designed for children. Nothing complicated, nothing challenging, nothing upsetting or difficult.
But that's just evolution, surely. Everything easier, more pleasant.
That's not how evolution works. Evolution is chaotic, messy. This feels too exact, too perfect. I need to find out why.
Are we nearly there yet?
Don't start that again. We're not turning back.
We've been in this tunnel how long?
Couple of hours.
What if it never ends? What if it's infinite? It goes on and on forever.
No tunnel goes on forever. Besides, look.
What am I looking for?
That white dot.
If that's an oncoming train, we're screwed.
It's not a train. Cuh. It's daylight.
Daylight! Oh, lordy lord, it's daylight!
Calm down. It's still some distance away, but we're getting there.
Maybe it's the coast.
I told you, there is no coast.
Okay. It's not the coast.
Must be one of the old human settlements I was telling you about.
But what happened here?
Who knows? Virus? Natural disaster? A war, most likely. Whatever happened, it was a long time ago.
Reminds me of Swindon.
It's not that bad.
Oh, the transporter's changing direction.
Looks like they're heading for the factory. Come on, let's go.
Yes, but this doesn't look very much like the coast.
Soon you will go to the coast.
It's not very glamorous.
No, I thought it would be a bit fancier than this. Maybe the coast is nearby.
Caitlin and Trevor, welcome to the departure zone. Soon you'll be on your way to the coast, but first we must carry out a quick and painless decontamination process.
Decontamination, but we're not dirty.
Best just do what she says.
Please board the conveyor belt.
I think she means this.
And remain on the belt at all times.
Whoa. Oh!
This is exciting!
Awaiting your command, Mother Janet.
Return to Peach Blossom Heights immediately. Our intelligence network reports deviant activity in the Glade. Names, Fiona and Colin.
Affirmative.
Okay. What the hell is this place?
I guess it could be the gateway to somewhere a little more salubrious, but that seems unlikely.
We need to follow that conveyor belt.
Agreed.
Well, this is turning into something of an adventure.
Oh, I've just thought, our bags. We left them in the car.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be forwarded on. Mother Janet wouldn't forget a thing like that.
Look there, up ahead. What do you suppose that is?
Oh, I don't know. Looks like some sort of car wash.
But we're not in a car.
Ah, then it must be the decontamination process Mother Janet mentioned.
Yes, that makes sense.
Did you hear something?
It came from down there.
Oh, look! It's Jack and John!
What are you doing here?
What's that?
I think he said something about a ring.
We can't hear what you're saying!
You are going to die!
Can't hear you.
We have to do something, Jack. They're just standing there like bloody ferrets.
Ferrets?
I couldn't think of a suitable animal. But what can we do?
We need to find some way to shut this down. Maybe if there's like a control panel or...
What about this lever?
I'll try it.
Nothing.
Okay, then we're just going to have to climb up there and get them off the conveyor belt ourselves.
Good thinking.
Oh! Oh, they're dead!
Yeah!
Oh, if we hadn't been talking about ferrets.
You were the one who made a deal out of ferrets.
Because they're not famous for standing around.
Lemmings?
Well, they jump off cliffs, except they don't. It's a myth.
There must be an animal that just stands around looking useless.
Meerkats?
They always look alert.
Sloths.
Too cliche.
Pandas.
Fucking pandas.
Oh. We probably shouldn't be this blasé moments after watching people die.
Nah, what we can do? Can't bring them back. And besides, right now, I'm cool as a cucumber. 6 months from now, I'll wake up shrieking and covered in sweat.
You get that too?
All the time. Oh, that's gross.
Whoa. Should I look?
Probably not. The pipes, they're sucking up all the, you know, squashed bits.
Oh, God.
Well, hey, maybe if we follow the pipes, we can find out what's going on here. And then we could kill the sons of bitches who are doing it. Like, really mess them up.
Oh, that's my kind of plan.
Oh, wait. I think I know what's going on here. It's like that film, you know? It's got what's his name in it? Played Jesus.
What are you talking about?
Come on, Jack. What's his name?
Robert Powell.
No.
Max von Sydow.
No.
William Dafoe.
No, the gun fella. He liked guns.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Charlton Heston.
Oh, Bright Eyes. No, he didn't play Jesus.
Yes, he did.
Let my people go.
Let my people go. That was Moses.
Okay, whatever.
By him. What about him?
It's like the film he's in. The one set in the future, except everything looks like 1975.
The Omega Man.
No.
Planet of the Apes.
No.
Airport, 1975.
I swear to God.
Soylent Green.
Yes! That's what's going on here. They're squashing people and sucking up all the gunk and turning it into food.
Oh, God, no, but that means, woo, we've eaten people.
What? When?
The barbecue.
Oh, yeah. In that case, no. Ignore what I said. It isn't Soylent Green.
Well, what do you mean?
Nothing we ate at the barbecue tasted anything like human flesh.
How would you know? Oh, God.
Look, we were stranded on Kybos, the cabin boy died of fever, and we'd run out of snacks. Well, we had some Garibaldi biscuits, but nobody likes Garibaldi biscuits.
I love Garibaldi biscuits. Wait a minute, you ate the cabin boy.
I wasn't on my own. There were four others.
Just when you think you know someone.
Not that there was much to go around. Like, when you get spare ribs from a bad Chinese takeaway, hardly any meat on them.
Could you stop talking, please?
Sure. What are they doing in here?
Growing people.
What?
Look, that's the pipe we saw. It's feeding the mush into those processors. They're recycling tissue, genetic material. They're creating people.
From other squashed up dead people?
Pretty much. I need to know who's doing this.
See, I'm getting less interested in who's behind all this the further we go. I'm leaning more towards going back to the car, driving back to Sexville.
Are you telling me you're happy to leave this place without knowing who built it, who's running it?
Yep. I hate surprises. And my short-term memory is screwed. By next week, I'll have forgotten most of this. No biggie. You know, until the PTSD kicks in.
Fine. You go back to the car. I'll keep going and discover the great big mystery behind this crazy planet and its inhabitants.
Oh, for flip's sake. Did you have to put it like that?
Like what?
Now I have to follow you. Typical. Every time. Bloody time.
Whoa. That's impressive.
I think that's the biggest one I've ever seen.
Well, I've seen bigger.
Really? But look at it. It's not just the length, it's the girth.
We should stop this now.
Yeah. But who could possibly need a computer this size?
It's a human design. Colonists used them to establish order. Governance, infrastructure, all dealt with by machine. Kept things nice and impartial.
Makes sense.
Who are you?
I'm John Hart. This is Jack Harkness. We're from the Hitchhikers.
Don't go there.
Guide.
Don't do it.
To the Crab Nebula.
We're not even in the Crab Nebula.
You are not children of Peach Blossom Heights.
No, no, we're not.
Oh, why are you here?
We're staying with Caitlin and Trevor.
You squashed them into pate.
And they have returned to the oneness.
Brilliant. She's a hippie.
Okay, Mother Janet, we get that you're recycling humans, but why? Caitlin and Trevor had their whole lives ahead of them.
But they were happy.
Exactly. So why kill them?
They were becoming aware.
Since when is that a crime?
Oh, it is not a crime, but it leads to misery. Is it better to die when you are at your happiest, or to die lonely, frail, and in pain?
Ooh, she kind of got a point.
But who gave you the right to decide when they die?
I did. I created them, or rather, I recreated them after the war.
You said war.
I did say war.
The humans fought one another. They've always fought one another. They will always fight one another. But their last conflict was the end of them here on Maglomi. No survivors. The planet was dead, except for me.
So you re-engineered humanity from what? Old tissue samples?
Correct.
As evil schemes go, that's actually kind of touching. I have so many mixed feelings about this.
Oh, I make humans happy and complete. I provide for them. I give them lives of leisure. I end their lives before they can know the miseries of decrepitude, loneliness, or betrayal.
Yeah, see? That makes perfect sense. I was expecting some cackling villain hell-bent on dominating the universe. How about you?
A giant brain.
Really?
Yeah, like a giant human brain connected to all the people in Peach Blossom Heights through some kind of telepathic field. And maybe, I don't know, I just didn't get any further than that, really.
So, what do we do now?
Good question. Mother Janet!
Yes?
Are we okay to leave?
Of course.
You won't unleash the mascots on us?
Why would I do that?
And you won't turn us into pâté?
You are imperfect specimens. I have no use for you.
That's a weird mixture of relief and rejection.
One other thing before we go. Do you have contact with any other planets in this system?
I severed contact when I became disillusioned with human race in their imperfect form. But yes, I can still arrange an outside call.
Excellent!
That was weird.
Very weird.
It was almost like the complete opposite of the kind of experience you'd expect us to have.
I know, right?
So, what happens now? To the others, I mean. Tom and Cynthia and all the rest of them.
Well, who knows? Now that they've discovered sex, maybe they'll get curious about everything else. Maybe one day they'll break free of their life cycle and explore what's out there.
Well, maybe Mother Janet will round them all up and turn them into mush, creating something different this time.
Like giant ferrets.
Oh, shut up.
What made you say ferrets?
Could we not do this?
They're standing there like ferrets!
Shut up!
Captain Hart?
He's early.
We're late.
Because you missed the exit. Leave the talking to me.
Jillix! Thanks for this. We thought we were stranded. Quite the adventure we've had.
Who is this?
This is Jack. Jack, this is Jillix.
He's the Farkosh family lawyer, a.k.a. the client.
Listen, Jill, can I call you Jill?
No.
Okay, Jillix. The gauntlets are in the house. We'll just grab them and then we can skedaddle, yeah?
We have already acquired the gauntlets.
Hmm?
I took the liberty of having them beamed up to the ship before your arrival.
Oh, right. Cool. So we'll just cut straight to the skedaddling, then.
Come a bit closer, Jack.
He can't come with us.
Hey, whoa, hold up. He only has those gauntlets because I stepped in and saved him.
Yeah, we kind of got a deal going.
The Vargosh family's security is paramount. I will not risk that on a whim just because you found yourself a dashing bit of totty. Do you want to be paid or not?
Screw him. We don't need their money.
Not so fast.
John? After everything we've been through?
Yeah, but it's a lot of money.
John!
Maybe next time, eh?
Oh, but come on, you can't do...
Bye, Jack!
That mother...
Hello, Jack.
Oh. hello, Mother Janet.
You know, you're always welcome to stay here.
Ooh, invitation, I'd love to, but you know, I'd be worried I might end up in the gene pool.
Then... Would you like me to make another call?
Yes, please. Patch me through to Bradburyville, Mars.
You have been listening to The Sins of Captain John, Peach Blossom Heights, by David Llewellyn. Captain John Hart was played by James Marsters. Captain Jack Harkness, John Barrowman. Caitlin, Aisha Antoine. Trevor, Robbie Jarvis. Mother Janet, Donna Kroll. The Mascots, Christopher Allen. Tom, Wilf Scolding. Cynthia, Sharon Ibrahim. And Jillix, Nicholas Kahn. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The script editor and producer was James Goss, director Scott Hancock, and executive producers Nicholas Briggs and Jason Hegg-Gallery.
I'm here with David Llewellyn, who wrote The Sins of Captain John.
Hello.
And to start with, this is a departure from your usual writing style.
The writing style for this had to be different to everything I've done, including audio things as well, just because of who your main character is. I think I remember reading a review when we did The Death of Captain Jack. There was a review that said, oh, it's enormous fun having Captain John as a main character, but I don't know whether they could get an entire box set out of it.
Cut two.
We were already discussing what we were doing at the time. So so I thought, oh, that's an interesting point, that people think maybe he can't support an entire series. So I had to think about a different approach to it. He wasn't a conventional hero. He's not even really a conventional anti-hero. It had to be on his terms rather than the terms you would normally apply for audio drama. So it was all about kind of finding a way to make him charming while also without softening the character.
Is this your revenge against writing audio drama?
There's maybe a bit of that. You kind of, because obviously there's a lot of conventions to audio drama, and there are limitations that are sometimes a lot of fun to work with. Sometimes those limitations, you know, obviously there are other things you can write on a scale that maybe you can't with TV, because you can have enormous explosions without having to worry how much they cost. But at the same time, you have to find a way of describing things in a way that feels organic without having the visuals there. So with this, yeah, I think it is kind of pushing against some of those conventions and some of the rules a little bit, while still hopefully telling a story that's engrossing and gripping and all the rest of it.
And episode one, where'd you get your ideas from?
Oh, where did that one come from? I don't know. I think I'd read there's a book, and I forget the author's name, called The Time Traveller's Guide to Britain, Time Traveller's Guide to Restoration England, I think it's called. And I'd read that, and that really did feel... It really did do what it said on the tin, kind of thing. You know, it did feel like you were walking through the streets of 1660s London, and you got a feel for everyday life. And I think it kind of came from that. And I don't know where the idea. I think it was, yeah, possibly the details about how they'd exhumed Cromwell and put his head on a spike and all this kind of thing. And then that turned into kind of zombies in Restoration England somehow. But yeah, and there's a bit of kind of Restoration comedy as well, that idea that all of a sudden society was licentious, and it seemed a perfect place to send Captain John anyway, that he would just kind of fit in. He wouldn't really have to do anything, he wouldn't have to be too discreet. He could just kind of be himself there, because the rest of society was like that.
And in terms of characters, Moesha.
Yeah, she kind of came from... I was just reading up on all different kind of things, and one of the things that stood out was the very early astronomy. Some of the astronomers from that time were based largely over in India. That was where a lot of astronomical research was kind of being done at the time. So I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if there was a woman who'd come from that background, who had that kind of background, but had to kind of keep it quiet. So, yeah, she kind of came up from that, and she's almost like, the in the way that Captain John is also, he's the antithesis of Captain Jack, but also a little bit the antithesis of Doctor Who in this. You know, he's kind of opposite of that. She's kind of the opposite of a standard companion, because she's probably a bit more violent than most of them, and probably, yeah. So, yeah, so she just kind of came from that. It was the idea of somebody who could have been a companion to Doctor Who, but she's a bit too independent and a bit too fierce, I think, yeah. I really like her. I think she's positively charming.
And you do have that lovely scene where, clearly, having a laugh at the expense of normal audio drama, where you have a lot of characters walking into a room and each saying to each other, Sir Thomas!
Yes, yeah, yeah. Well, that's partly the limit. One of those limitations of audio drama a lot of the time is that you have a certain number of pages that you can have per scene. So that was the idea, that if you could actually make a scene that exceeded that but had the breaks in there to allow for another character to walk in the room. So there was a bit of that, but yeah, it's... Yeah, yeah. That was one of the scenes where I was quite clearly taking the mickey. So,
episode 2. Does the wooden prison come from Alien 3?
Do you know what? I probably did a little bit. Yeah, there was the original Vincent Ward story for Alien 3. I was a massive fan of the Alien movies at the time. And I used to buy, they had Aliens comics and things like that. And when Alien 3 was first in the planning stages, I think that leaked out and it came out that it was going to be set on this wooden monastery planet that was full of monks. And so I think there's probably a nod to the Vincent Ward version that didn't get filmed in there somewhere. Yeah, yeah, I think that's definitely, even if, I can't remember how conscious the decision was, but yeah, it would definitely owe something to that.
And it feels very much like... of the entire box set, this is the one story that is most like a traditional Doctor Who story, except that at every turn, Captain John does not what Doctor Who would do.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Yeah, it's the idea that, you know, in this story, the hero spends or the anti-hero or whatever spends a significant part of the story drunk. And unable to take anything seriously, and he's having to work with this, you know, this scientist who's trying to make him treat it seriously. So yeah, I guess it's the most conventionally science fiction, most conventionally Doctor Who like story. But yeah, with this hero who's just not really playing by any of the rules that normally entails.
And moving very smoothly on to episode 3, which is Logan's Run for Cynics.
It's a mixture of kind of, yeah, it's Logan's Run and the Ice Storm and I don't know what else. Yeah, 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 Logan's Run for Cynics, I like that. That's, yeah. So that was just looking at that kind of idea of an ideal, what would an ideal world actually look like, and looking at Utopia. I think the name Peach Blossom Heights comes from, now I can't remember which culture that's part of, Peach Blossom Heights, but it is this utopian world. It's a bit like Elysian Fields and all the rest of it. So it came from looking at Utopia and why Utopia might not be so ideal anyway, unless you looked at it from a certain angle. And yeah. And then, but I wanted it to be that even when they discovered sex, that it would be quite sex positive, and that it would be that their attitude, because they haven't got any preconceptions and they haven't got any kind of religious doubts plaguing them or anything like that, that their attitude to it is really matter of fact, that they just kind of, they're doing all these things that would shock most people today on Earth, but that in their world, this is fine, this is absolutely fine. They're having a massive orgy by a swimming pool and that's perfectly normal. And they treat it as if somebody just introduced them to a new board game or something.
And it's great, because obviously Torchwood does deal with some grown-up matters.
Mm.
And it's just a joyous, piece of innocence until they all get minced.
I mean, I do kind of love that like 1970s carry-on kind of cheeky innuendo. I love all that. But this is kind of the opposite of that. This is where there isn't any double entendre. It's pretty much, it's all up front. It's all single entendre. And the characters are just quite open and upfront about it, because they don't know how to be any other way.
And episode 4, which is probably on the next disc, so we will tread carefully. Mm. Obviously, it has a happy ending.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, it has an ending.
It has an ending. Yeah, this is where it does take... I mean, I hope it's still quite funny, and I hope it's still quite cheeky and all the rest of it, but it is a bit darker than the others. This is kind of not quite King Lear in space, but it's yeah, it draws a bit on that. And it's the characters in this are really unpleasant in this one. I think there's lots of likable characters in the first three stories, and in this it's almost like Captain John's met his match, because he's up against people who are even more amoral than he is.
He's just up against some really awful people.
Yeah.
And it's actually very hard to sympathise with anyone in episode 4.
Yeah.
Which is...
He's our sympathetic character,
suddenly. I was going to ask you, you know, is the point of episode 4 you actually end up going, Captain John is the nicest person of the lot?
Yeah, yeah. I quite like creating really unlikable characters. I think it's a lot of fun. It's probably easier than creating likable characters, to be honest. I think likable characters are really... They are... It's difficult to create a character that's likable without them being too much... Too saintly or too perfect or... What they call it, like the Mary Jane kind of, you know, it's tricky. But I think this was enormous fun because it was just creating characters who were really, really horrible.
And what moment are you proudest of, or thought you wouldn't get away with?
There are so many. I'm trying to think. There are lines that I've put in there that, I'm trying to think. What's the Oh, good grief. No, there's probably loads. Actually, Scott's cameo.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Just when Scott went, hey, guys, we've had this joke twice already. Can we have something else?
Yeah. So there's a cameo for Scott in there as well, which I think, because that's in episode 4, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to finish so that people can now listen to episode 4.
Yes, and the grand finale.
Thank you for wasting your time coming in here and talking about it.
Thank you, James. Thank you.